Welcome to Your Support Group Podcast, home of the number one podcast that supports you at what you like to do. I'm Kenny, and as always, I'm joined by the lovely brown skin, chocolate, Florida woman that's actually from New Orleans. But yeah, all that.
What's up?
So today, first off, I want to give a big shout out to, we had an historic Super Bowl. Mm. Where there was actually two quarterbacks that were black, you know. So at the end of the day, shout out to both of them, Hurts and Mahone. Wow, why was I about to say Malone? But thinking about Karl Malone, but that's a whole different topic for another time. but shout out to Mahomes and Hurts, man. That was really a historic game. They probably don't know the magnitude at which they played at, on the level they actually played at. Because if you think about it, you know, it was a time where, you know, they actually told black people coming into the NFL, you know, they wasn't smart enough to play quarterback. So, like, they would leave college as quarterbacks, but come to the NFL and become wide receivers, running backs, or tight ends, or something else. So, to be given a position of leadership, which brings me to today's topic. So, you start looking at these different sects of what people call, or what they may think is black leadership, and you start going, I don't quite know about this person or that person. And I'm not saying that everybody who should be a leader is going to be perfect. I mean, Martin Luther King wasn't perfect. And we can name a whole bunch of leaders that just had flaws and they wasn't perfect. I mean, they're human beings. But at the same time, what we define as leaders now, especially in the black community, I would say we probably got two or three sexually qualified.
A few people. Well, mainly the one young lady. I can't remember. Is her name Tamika Mallory? That does a lot of
activism. That was one of the people. I was like two or three.
I see her as a. Yeah, and so you're right. There's not a lot in the forefront. I mean, we still have Reverend out there doing his thing, but you know, it's not a lot of prominent people out there that's really leading the charge against, you know, stuff that we, that's really actually concerning our communities. So, yeah, I would have to agree. But when that happens, you know, look within yourself, I would say. The charge is, you know, it's in every one of us.
Oh, yeah. You have to be the flag bearer of sorts. Keep that flag waving, keep instilling those things into your family. I mean, you know, one thing I've always learned is it always starts at home. It always starts at home. And if the conversation doesn't start at home, then my God, when the child or whoever goes out in the street and they get their own perspective, what they may come back home with may be something totally different. You may find that they're lost. Or either they got controversial ideas, or even may just be conspiracy theorists, kind of like me. But I have a degree of conspiracy. I always try to look at the other side and add the what ifs to it. But anyway, yeah. So you definitely want to have those conversations at home before. Whoever your mate or your children go out in the world and they have their own ideals and it just comes back home crazy.
Yeah.
The most scariest thing is though, when we have things like Black History Month or when things happen in the Black community. And I'm not talking about everything that's tragic. I'm just talking about in general and overall. We really don't have a consistent voice to kind of push the envelope to keep bad things or tragic things from happening. it's always, to me, it's always an after the fact, or so this happened, we're going to show up for that. And that's mm-hmm. the point that I'm trying to get at when it comes to Black leadership. Like, we need some sort of consistency. Like, this is a relationship, and I need somebody consistently in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I know who you are, not just who the hell is these Black people showing up here, or why is he showing up now? You know, he should have been here. Like, that's just my perspective.
Yeah, right. You know, we have our people in politics, but, you know, I just think politics is such a weird game, because there's a level of wheeling and dealing that you have to do that kind of taints the actual cause you're trying to stand up for. You know, after I've watched several shows, and I'm like, man, politics is dirtier than I thought.
Way dirty.
I know the TV show is a TV show, but they had to, you know, you just can't pull stuff out of thin air. You writing from some degree or level of experience and some knowledge. So it ain't all made up. And that goes for every last one of them, from the Black ones to the white ones to the everything in between.
Yeah, you know, art always imitates life. So, and I always tell people, you know, just because it's in the movie doesn't mean that it's fake. So, for example, mm-hmm. like you were saying, you know, because you're a writer. So it always comes from some type of memory or condition that either you seen, heard, or, you know, I hate to use the word romanticize about, but you kind of romanticize about, and you create this this idea, or you write this thing down from that. And when you see some of this stuff on TV, you kind of like, that could really happen. That makes a lot more sense than what they said. You know what I'm saying? In real life, what they said on the news, that makes much more sense. So, yeah. I definitely understand the perspective of what you're talking about when it comes to politicians, because they always, as far as like Black politicians go, they always kind of do like a two-step. They, oh, yeah, I'm hitting Black community. Then it's like, da-da-da-da-da. But I'm just not for Black rights. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I got my hot sauce and da-da-da-da-da. And da-da-da-da-da. But hey, I eat pumpkin, peach.
Yeah. You know, it always starts out with like the best of intentions. Like, they go in there real gung-ho, like, oh, I'm going to do all of these things. But then they get in there and they find out that, no, you got to, and I understand compromise, but sometimes the compromise is like, dang.
Yeah, the compromise is almost like, hey, let's go ahead and put all the Black people on the block.
Right. Exactly. You know,
the compromise comes at, I think the compromise always comes at a greater risk to me. I mean, when you do that two-step, you say, hey, you know, it's like, oh crap, here we go. I thought you was going to do something, bro. You know, now we do have the minority leader of the House is Black. I can't think of his name right now.
Hakeem.
Yeah. Hakeem.
Hakeem Jeffries.
So we do have the Black minority leader of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, who loves to quote hip hop. I'm hoping he's not doing that for the two step. Same number, same hood. I seen sun and I seen rain. Hakeem, can't you see? I got friends in lowly places. Listen, I hope he's not doing a two-step on us for that, because I feel like when the next election rolls around, he might be the guy. He might be the guy. And I just hope, you know, and I'm not dissing Barack or anything like that. Like, I love Barack. I love the Obama family and stuff like that. But I always felt like him winning to be the president was the wrong time. And what I mean by that is, I love that he won. I voted to make sure that happened. I was in those lines. So I'm not going to lie like at that standpoint, but I always feel like as if a lyric out of Tupac always shot up over the whole entire thing. We wasn't ready for a black president. The country wasn't ready for a black president because we never healed from segregation, slavery, and all kinds of other injustices around this whole entire country. And so when we interject a black president, all those old thoughts of black people having the inability to lead, he's going to get up there and do everything for the black people and do bad stuff to the white people. I hate black people. You know, all those old thoughts, all those old mentalities came to play. And that's how we got to Donald J. Trump. So, you know, it was a thing that, you know, we are going through still, but I always tell people, in a sense, we wasn't ready for the gift that we got.
Sadly.
Yeah.
It's a harsh reality.
Yeah, and a lot of people probably going to listen to this part and say, oh, so what are you saying? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have black presidents. We should have been had black presidents. It shouldn't have took.
It shouldn't have took that long.
It shouldn't have took till I'm almost 40 for us to have a you know what I'm
right.
saying? And I mean, we at the cusp of probably never having another one again. I mean, because of the way that things are going in the world, like we haven't fixed the biggest problem. The biggest problem is there's still people with this old way of thought about black leadership.
Well, a lot of it is because, you know, that whole replacement and, oh, you're going to do to us this bad thing, that this is going to be some type of retaliatory or behavior. And honestly, if you listen to an interview that I know a lot of people have their feelings about Louis Farrakhan, but I actually think he's pretty intelligent. He's like, think of all the years. If we wanted to do something to you, we would have been did it. Like most black people just don't think that way. Like if a white person moves into a black neighborhood, black people going to most likely welcome that person, try to help them out, be more, hey, how you doing? What you doing? You need something? You need some help? But it's the complete opposite when you have one black family moving into an all white neighborhood. That person gets looked at like, oh, what are you doing here? Or
you don't live in this neighborhood.
Question.
What house you live at?
Yeah. Like, what do you
do? What do you do for work?
Exactly.
I never see your cars leave. What the fuck? You stalking right. me?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like we just want to be left alone to pursue the same things that y'all have. We want to be able to feed our families, be loved, go to work, mind our own business, and have a little fun every now and again. That's all. We ain't trying to make y'all slaves or none of that craziness. Who got that kind of time?
I don't even second thought a person's skin color sometimes. Like, I'd be saying something and then I realize, I'd be like, hold up. Wrong person. Yeah. like I don't even think about it most of the time. But I know right. that, you know, it's a lot of people on the other end of the spectrum that may say something and say, you probably never heard of that. Like, why are you starting off the conversation with, you probably never heard of that? You don't know what I heard of. I just sung Garth Brooks and Biggie all at the same time. Like, you don't know what I know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just always it's just the sad thought. You know, like I said, I always refer back to the fact that we've never fixed the biggest problem. problem that faces the country. There's a war on drugs. There's all this other stuff that they have wars on or divides on or fix bills on, but you never fix the racial problem when it comes to Black leadership, nor Black people in general, people of color. I shouldn't say Black people, it's people of color too, because there's some yellow and there's some brown and some red that get discriminated against as well. Nobody's going to replace you. Nobody wants to replace you. Nobody wants to be that person. You do you. You eat your pumpkin pie, your cheese sandwiches, and we'll eat our hog maws and chitlins and ackee and saltfish and all the other cobblers and stuff like that. And don't worry about it. We won't say nothing to you if you come to the cookout with raisins and a potato salad. No, we won't say nothing to you. We just ain't gonna eat that shit. But we ain't gonna say nothing to you. But don't do that to us. That's all I'm saying. Don't do that to us. Because we don't deserve it. I mean, because I look a certain way, or she looks a certain way, or he looks a certain way, like that don't cut it. It just don't. I mean, fair is fair. And I'm looking forward to seeing leadership in the next couple of years that look more like me. I don't want to be seeing all these people up in Congress and Senate in all these places making these laws about me and my BS chain or check or whatever that's holding me down to the ground. And yet your kids go to school for free and you don't understand mm-hmm. the things that's going on in my neighborhood or in my neck of the woods. No, you understand only what happened during segregation and all this stuff. And you make these assumptions that all Black people are the same. My name is not Jamal. My name is not Ray Ray. My name is Kenneth. Simple as that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, it's not going to change anytime soon because, number one, in order for you to move forward, you have to first acknowledge a thing has happened.
Exactly.
And you have to acknowledge that a thing is still happening and that people are still suffering from the thing that did happen. But as long as you try to say to us, the descendants of enslaved people, oh, that was so long ago, that you didn't go through that. Meanwhile, me, this little Black girl who grew up in Louisiana, experienced racism from the white teachers at the school that I attended, who would talk to me like I was dumb as a box of rocks when I was smarter than every little white kid up in that class. I already knew how to write my name and add and all of that stuff. And she's sitting up there talking about some, are you having problems? I was like, lady, I didn't already did it. I wrote it in all capitals, all lowercase, and I did it the right way. Here you go. How about this? And she looked at me, rolled her eyes, and walked away.
Yeah.
Like, F you.
I was lucky. Like, I started off elementary school in the North. So I was lucky in that sense. But coming down South, and I mean, of course, New Jersey still had his, you know, little bit of issues. But you knew those neighborhoods. You knew those neighborhoods. You knew not to be messing around in those neighborhoods. They left you alone. You come in their neighborhood. You buy. You do whatever in their neighborhood. But when sundown came, it was time for yous to leave. That's all I'm gonna say because I don't want nobody knocking at my door saying, "Hey, yous talking about us." Hey, yous talking about us. Yo, yeah, yous. But you knew to go. Coming down South and seeing the amount of basically segregation in the neighborhoods, like, you know, where all the white people at? You know, the white people live up over here. The Black people live here. You know, then you go to school together. And then, you know, now you got the white people looking at you holding their book bags extra tight. And I'm like, yo, I was not ready for this. Like, this wasn't what I started out my life with. Like, you know, don't talk to them. They racist. Like, hold up. Like, I'm 10, 11 years old. Like, what you mean don't talk to him? They racist. Like, that's a person. Oh, no. We don't talk to white boys around here. Like, oh, you know, and yeah. Vice versa. Like, oh, I thought you was going to be different. I don't sound like what? So, you know, coming down south, it kind of really opened up my eyes. And then living in different places like Ohio and Tennessee and South Carolina and stuff like that, really, like, I was like, yo, like, it is like some really sick stuff about here. And I call it sick because racism is a sickness. I'm sorry. Whenever you look at another person and you hate them just because of the color of their skin, a person can actually go out and go get a suntan and you hate that person? No, you don't. That's just you just being sick in the head. And your breath smell like doo-doo.
Right. And you got dirty drawers. And
yep, and Jesus don't love you. Ha ha. Yeah, but I just that, you know what, it hate is a strong word, but if there's one thing I hate in this world, it is people that hate people because of their skin color or because of where they're mm-hmm. from or because they don't speak English well. Like, I've seen so many racial comments and stuff like that because, you know, like a Mexican or somebody that speaks Spanish or trying to have a breakdown of their English, you know, got it broken English, you know, somebody say something racist. Oh, yeah, they come in here and drink up all the coffee. You don't see me down in Mexico eating up all their burritos. The fuck? Like, come on, man. Like, don't say that shit around me. Like,
yeah, like, and I hate for us to do that because one day I was in Subway with my husband, but I guess the person didn't know it was my husband. He was standing in front of me, I was standing behind him, and she said, "Don't stand too close to that Mexican." And I just looked at her, I was like,
I would have grabbed him and I would have been like, "You talking about this Mexican? This Mexican right here? Oh, this is my Mexican. Yeah, I imported him myself. Yeah, he came with a pack of Corona." I'm sorry. Exactly. I'm using so many cuss words, but yeah, he came with a pack of Corona. Like, what is it? What is the hell wrong with you? Like, chill. Yeah, we do it.
She saw me get close to him, and then she was just, I looked back at her, and she was like, "Hey, he's mine. What you want me to do?"
Yeah.
I got to get close to him. We had two kids together.
Don't get no closer than that. Yeah.
But it's just weird.
Yeah, we do it.
It's
we
like,
do
who, it. What did she even base that on? Like, if I don't know if most people know this, but like, most Mexican people are like some of the coolest, nicest people you can meet. They will feed the mess out of you, like feed you, tell you about the burst. Like, go, that's why I said on the last episode, go and explore your surroundings. Stop being so closed into the 5 or 12 people you know and go meet some other folks because you might be surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
Like, I've hung with some vatos. Protecting me like I was one of their own. You know what I'm saying? And big shout out to them. I ain't going to call them out by name because some of them probably want it. Those was my dudes, you know what I'm saying? And I know, you know, Mexico and El Salvador got their own little thing, but I hung out with some El Salvadorians. That was cool as shit too, you know? So, I mean, when we sit around and because we do it, like I said, we do it too. When we sit around and we judge other people, you know what I'm saying? Just understand that this judgment already pit against us. Why do we want to put that same thing on top of somebody else? you know, because of their right. skin color or their nationality or where they're from. That's not right. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, it has to get fixed on all spectrums. This way, you know, we can live in a better world and move forward. You know what I'm saying? You never know. The next president may be of Mexican descent. You know what I'm saying? Or he may be of Jamaican descent. Or, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? We are America. We are the melting pot. You know, and to have racism in a melting pot, that's stupid.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. No, like a country that was founded on the principles of immigration. Like we all came here from somewhere. There were people here already that we just, hey, move over. We're here now. Get out the way. Throwing elbows and, you know, taking up space. And they was like, the hell?
So let's
you know, that's another story.
No. We here. We're going to take this trip. So let's just rewind that back a little bit. So we came here, right? There was already people here. We told them, move out the way. We got it from here, right? Now we came here because we were looking for religious freedom. We wanted to be able to pray to or preach about or live our life any way that we wanted to see fit. That's what the whole exploration was. So once we got here, then we realized we was getting overly taxed. So we got mad, start throwing tea bags up over. Decided to have a whole revolution that just kicked them out. We didn't want them here no more. Go back to Britain. And we know that day as Treacherous Treason Day in Britain. And we call that day Independence Day here in the U.S. But hey, I got some, when I say we, I probably got some English descent because, you know, my family from the Caribbean. So I got a small probably we in there. So then we decide that after we don't kick these people out, don't took over these people's land, we decide that, hey, we going to farm this thing. But how are we going to do that? Well, I was just over there in Africa and Spain, and they had these black people that was actually cleaning and cooking for them. Let's go get some of them.
Yeah.
And now we're here. So fast forward now, these people that you took from their land were leaders already. Most of them was leaders, a few of them. Leaders of tribes, leaders of groups or they sex or whatever. And then they came here and was told they was less than. So they worked up their status. They educated themselves, educated their children, even though you told them they couldn't read. And then when all was said and done, they said, hey, we want our seat at the table. We want to be able to lead. We want to be politicians and preachers and different things like that. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. We could do that. But then when it became too much for you, when you seen the dynamic change and you thought inside your head, now this is back then, you was going to be replaced back then.
Right.
You said, oh, hell no, we can't do that. We're going to burn this damn town down. We're going to destroy everything. No. They're getting too much money. They're getting more money than we getting.
Yeah.
So now fast forward some more to where we at now. You still think that we are going to replace you. You're dumb. You're dumb with a big D. You're dumb not with the little D, with the big D. You're just super dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Like, come on, man. Stop with these asinine thoughts, these conspiracies of how black people do things or It's just foolishness. Like, can we just all be Americans and just enjoy our lives instead of having this halo up over me and saying, oh, I may get pulled over because I'm black, or, oh, I can't get this job just at this leading tech company because I'm black, or, you know, just ongoing things because of the color of your skin, you know, and we just have to stop it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Like, we want to be respected as leaders too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, one more thing too. So, episode before last, we did an episode about Martin Luther King, and I forgot to have this discussion. A friend of mine brought up to me, and he was telling me about the assassination of Martin Luther King and how the actual person that we think assassinated him was a patsy. And I was like, Now, I've heard that the King family did sue the government back in 99. Did you hear about that? So I heard about that. And I heard that they actually won the case. But what I didn't know was it was a restaurant owner. I don't know his actual name. I think his last name was Cohen's or Owens or something like that. But it was a restaurant owner that actually had a couple of other individual groups, mafia, government, and everything like that, and called around to set up a hit and said that the actual person that shot Martin Luther King wasn't the person that was hired to do the hit. And this court case actually went to court, and he actually got charges brought against him. Ugh. Did you hear about this?
No.
Me neither. I heard about it. Like I said, I heard about the 99 case, but I never heard about that portion. And so, like, I was like, yo, I have to, like, really, like, do some deep reading about that, because that caught me off guard. Like, and shout out to my friend Ben, a white guy. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know what I'm saying? So he knew more about it than I did. See, black people, we got to do better. But I was like, this is real. You know what I'm saying? Like I told him, I said, I kept on telling him, like, nah, I know about the 99 case, but I never heard these names mentioned.
Okay.
But I advise everybody listen to this episode to look it up. It will blow your mind that it was an actual hit, that the person that supposedly did the hit was like the patsy or the fall guy and wasn't supposed to do the hit. He wasn't hired. I was like, yo, this is way deeper. I'm not going to keep on reading. I'm not going to keep on talking about it, because no telling. It might be my next door neighbor waiting on me to come outside saying, hey, Kenny, how you doing today? So with that said, and I know we at the end of Black History Month. So, yeah, happy Black History Month. I hope that you took this time out this month to learn something. No matter what your race is, your nationality, anything, learning about other cultures is the gold of the world. I'm telling you, it's the gold of the world. You can never become a better person in this world if you never learn about other cultures. And if you're ignorant and you say, well, I'm not about to learn about nobody that's not black, then that's on you. Good luck. Die old, crusty, gray, and what we say, ashy, your breasts smell like doo-doo, and Jesus don't love you. All that.
There you go. Yeah. Dirty drawers.
And dirty drawers with doo-doo stains in them. Not the regular doo-doo, the mud butt doo-doo. And with all that said, if nobody told you today that they love you, we do. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. We're doing numbers. So listen to us, enjoy it, laugh, share, cry, subscribe. Peace out. Kenny for president.
Yes, vice president right here. Just support.
your support group. Yes.